Our reading is taken from Nahum chapter number 1, starting at verse number 7. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And it reads, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in a day of trouble. He protects those who take refuge in him, even in a rushing flood." Amen. I want you to turn to your neighbor, grab your neighbor by the hand if you choose to, but look your neighbor square in the eye. They need to know it's you who's looking at him. It's you who is talking to him. And say to your neighbor, "Neighbor, there's none better than the Lord. Neighbor, there's none better than the Lord." Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, "There's None Better Than the Lord." You know, what we're seeing here is Nahum is dealing with a situation. The 10 northern tribes have just been devastated and have been conquered by the Assyrians. And the fear that exists for the southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin, is that they were next. And what you read here in Nahum is his prayer for God to destroy Nineveh, the capital city of their enemy, and with the hopes that they will not come their way. We know that Jonah was instructed by God to go to Nineveh and to pray. Not to pray, but to preach to them, to get them to repent. And they did for a while. But you know, sometimes those old ways come back. And it's those old ways that have gotten them in the situation where they are. I'm talking about Nineveh. Because God, yes, did ultimately destroy Nineveh, which in turn put the Assyrian army in shambles. But the one thing that we have to realize as we look at the Word of God and study the Word of God and read the Word of God is that in the midst of him writing this prayer, what he is reminding the people is something that was important then and still important today. He reminds them by saying, first and foremost, in verse number 7, "The Lord is good." Y'all know we have done something with that word, good. You know, you go to the movies and you like what you saw, and somebody say, "Did you see the movie?" "Yeah, it was." You go out to a restaurant and eat some food that was enjoyable. And folks say, "Well, how was the food at that restaurant?" And you will tell them that food was. A few brothers are walking down the street and see a sister on the other side of the street walking. They both elbowed each other and said, "She looked." Two sisters was walking down the street. Saw a brother on the other side of the street walking, and she said, "Girl, do you see him?" She said, "Yeah, he sure enough look." Thank you. Stay in the moment, y'all. We're talking about good, not fine. I don't need y'all to drift. Stay with me. Stay with me. Thank you, Lord, for us being able to do this. Good. Good movie. Good food. good looking folk. And then we'll turn around and say, the Lord is. We've diluted the word. You see, I don't care how good the movie was. It can't be the same kind of good when you say that the Lord is. I don't care how good the food was. It can't still be on the same plateau with God when you say that the Lord is. I don't care how fine you might have thought she was. She still can't be on the same level as God when you say, how is it that we have used this word good so much that even when we refer to God and we say that the Lord is, it doesn't seem to have that intensity and power that it ought to have. And that's why folk will say, well, no, God is better than good. He is awesome. He's this, he's that. But all those are same words that we dilute. But the one thing that Nahum was doing when he was sharing with the southern tribes was that he wanted them to understand that the Lord is, and he is on a plateau all by. He is making it a point to let them know that when I tell you that the Lord is good, it's got a whole lot of weight with it. Because when I say that the Lord is good, I'm talking about what he's done. I'm talking about how he parted the Red Sea, dried the ground. I'm talking about how he fed them in the wilderness for 40 years with some stuff they went and picked every morning, except picked twice as much on Friday. And they ground it and they ate it and they say, man, what is this? That's where he got the name manna from. They know that God is good because they saw a ruddy shepherd boy fight against a giant. And he was victorious. Not because he was all that. It's because the Lord is. Samson was able to take the jawbone of a donkey and beat down their enemies. And he did that because the Lord is. Do y'all see how good God is? And since God is good, and he's good, and all the time, how is it that we have taken that word, good, and made it so common that when we refer to God, it just doesn't have the same power it had? You see, the one thing that we have to understand, And yes, we might say that word to mean other things, but when we refer to God and we say God is good, it has to mean something different to us. You see, when you opened up your eyes this morning and you could breathe and you could move, that really is a time you told the Lord, thank you, because you know God is. When you're able to understand that the reason why you got a roof over your head, food on your table, clothes on your back, air conditioning your house, is because the Lord is. When you know that you only exist and able to move is because God is. That's why whenever we come into this place, we don't just come here to take up space. We come here to praise God because God has been. And when I praise and worship him, I recognize what he has done for me, where he has taken me, where he has brought me from. You don't know what my life was like, but now that I serve the Lord, I recognize and realize that he is. You see, what we have to be able to do is to know the significance of the word and give it emphasis when it needs to have emphasis. Because when we talk about God and good, because to look at our own self, go back prior to before you gave your life to the Lord. I'm talking about really gave your life to the Lord. Remember how messed up you was. Remember the stuff you were doing. And remember how folk labeled you, said this and that about you. But it was only God who saw the good in you when you couldn't see no good in y'all. You see, I want you to understand something, that there is, it's repeated time and time again, Reverend Flippin, in the Bible, Old and New Testament, God seems to bless those who are the what? Least of these. Those who were supposed to not make it are the ones that make it. Those who were supposed to be left behind are the ones that are brought to the forefront. Don't you know that God will take the last and make the first? Don't you know God will take the nothing and make something from it? When you look at what we are, many of us were nothing and God made something from it. Many of us were the least of these and God made something of us. And now that we're in God's house, how can we sit here like we're all that, a bag of chips and two soda and a shake and a soda on the side? We got to understand we are where we are because God is. And once we come to the realization, it's not what we did, it's what God has done. And why did God do it? Because he is. So we should never come here like we, what you in church for. Jesus came for the least of these. And that's what we were. And now that the Lord has blessed us and elevated us, it is not for us to look at somebody else as though they are nothing. Because there was a time folks saw you and thought you were nothing. And thought you wouldn't have nothing come from you. But look at what the Lord has done. Look at how the Lord has shaped you. Look at how the Lord has molded you. Look at how the Lord has delivered you. Look at how the Lord has elevated you. Look at how God has blessed you. Look at how you are able to do all the things you thought you couldn't do. It's all because God has done it for you. There were some folk who looked at you when you ain't have two nickels to rub together and said, don't waste your breath on that one. There are some folk who saw you as nothing because of where you was born, because of where you was raised, and thought you nothing would ever come out of you. But I'm here to tell you, look at you now. Look at where you are. Look at how God did it. I'm telling you, it only happened because God is. And since you know God is good, how can you come up in God's house and act like you're supposed to be here? Whenever you come up in God's house, you ought to have a shout in your mouth. You ought to have some praise on your tongue. You ought to have some worship in your heart. Because God is good. And if God had not been good, where in the world would you be right now? Do I got any witnesses in God's house who realize and recognize I wouldn't be where I am right now? And the only reason why I am here is because God is. God is looking for more folk who are able to see and know that he is. Thank you, Jesus. Hurry it up now. That's enough. Sit down. You've stood long enough and said, go on, preacher. You see, they don't know how good God has been to you. They don't know how low you've been. You might have been so low you thought you was about to call it a day. Call it a life, but didn't God step in right on time? When everybody else thought that was it, God said, not yet. You see, my brothers and my sisters, what the Lord was looking for are some folk who are not going to be concerned with what folk on your left and on your right going to say about you. That I am here to give God the glory, the honor, and the praise. Because I recognize the only reason why I'm still breathing is because the God I serve is. And I'm going to let him know I appreciate that I am still alive. I appreciate for how far he's brought me. I appreciate how he turned me around. And he did it all because he is. So since our God is good, how can we sit down on him? How can we act like it ain't no big deal? I'm here to tell you, it's a big deal to me. Because you know what? I ain't have to be here right now. Do I got anybody else who understands the only reason why I'm here right now? The only reason why I can clap right now? The only reason why I can talk right now? Only reason why I can hear right now is because I know that the Lord is. Now, what is happening here right now is that Nahum wants the folk that he's talking to and praying to God to deal with the folk in Nineveh is to let them know, never lose sight of that which you have that is. Somebody gonna work with me. The problem that many of us have run into is we lost sight that God is. And we've allowed ourselves to get swayed and to get distracted by all the other stuff going on around us. But what I'm here to tell you, you can't lose sight that the Lord is. You see, and when you lose sight that the Lord is good, then you can't see the good that's going on right in front of you. When we continue to say that the Lord is good, the Lord will continue to reveal to you and let you know. I ain't saying it's going to always be easy. I'm going to say sometime it get rough, but I understand something, that the Lord brought me this far. He didn't bring this far to drop me off now. He brought me this far to take me a little bit further. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? So no matter what you say about me, I might be a little loud. I might stand a lot. I might shout a lot. I might talk back to the pastor a lot. But that's all right, because I realize and understand I couldn't do none of this. But the only reason why I can is because the Lord is good. So look at your neighbor right now and say, neighbor, don't lose sight of God. You see, because when you lose sight of God, you forget that God is. Young people, I don't care how young you are. Before you eat your food, your parents always make you say grace. Why do they want you to say grace? It's because that food that you have before you don't have to be there. It's because God has blessed you with it. And if your parents want you to know, the God we serve is. Amen. See, the Lord is good. Right? Now, what he goes on to say to finish that statement, he says, the Lord is good. And what is the Lord also? A stronghold in a day of. The Lord is a stronghold in the day of. So don't you know, in our lives we're going to run into some. And in order for the trouble not to get a hold of us and beat us down and keep us down, is that we got to know that the Lord that we serve is a what? A stronghold, which means that the Lord has his hand on you, has a grip on you, and he ain't gonna let nothing take you out. He ain't gonna let nothing beat you down. He ain't gonna let nothing move you away from him, because the reason why you won't let it happen is because you know that the Lord is. But I want you to understand something, that trouble won't always be there, but it will happen every now and then. But you got to know that you got help to get you through the troubled times. But I want you to understand something. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you better catch this. You see, the one thing I want you to understand, the statement, this first statement that we've made thus far, is a generalization of who God is. The Lord is what? Good. And he's a stronghold. What? In a time of. So that right there is a general statement letting you know that God is what? Good. And that he is a what? Stronghold during a time of what? You see, so once we got that right, now we got to catch this. Because if we just focus on that first part, we ain't going to catch what is on the second part. Because he says he protects those who take refuge in. Are you understanding that? You got to catch the second part. Because if you don't catch the second part, you ain't going to be able to experience the first part. You see, we got to know that the God that we serve is a protector. But who does he protect? Those who take refuge in him. Those that trust in him. Those that know he's their deliverer. He is their salvation. He is the one that's going to keep them. You and I are here right now because we know that we are kept by the Lord. Do I got anybody in God's house who know it's the Lord that is keeping you? It is the Lord that is blessing you. It is the Lord making a way for you. It is the Lord who's brought you through danger, seen and unseen. When you understand how good God is, you know that he is your refuge. Why? Because you put your trust in him. So he's going to protect you. You see, my brothers and sisters, if you don't catch that last part, then the other thing is just a statement like anybody else can hear. You don't know that the Lord is good. You just hear it being said. You don't know that he is a stronghold in a day of trouble. Because of the fact, until you know he's a protector of those that take refuge in him, the first statement just sounds good and it looks good. But it don't mean nothing to you, because guess what? You didn't catch it. Do I got some folk up in here who's caught that? Do I got some folk up in here who come to realize that I know that the Lord is my refuge? Do I got some folk in here who come to know and to understand that I don't know where I would be if it had not been for the Lord? Do I got some folk in here who thought I was about to lose my mind, but if it had not been for the Lord, I don't know where I would be? Do I have anybody who was on a sick bed, wasn't sure how they was going to ever get back up again, but it's because you put your trust in God and He is your refuge? You are here right now. You see, my brothers and my sisters, you might have went through a divorce and thought that the entire world divorced you, including God, but look what God did. You see, my brothers and sisters, you might have had some loved ones called on home to glory, and you didn't know how you was going to make it through another day. You see, my brothers and my sisters, the Lord is a protector to those that take refuge in Him. It is left up to us to take refuge in God. God has defined to us who He is, what He will do, but it's left up to us to embrace what who He is and what He will do. And the reason why so many folk are frustrated is because they have not embraced who He is and what He can do. You see, we just want to pick and choose what we want God to do for us, but God don't want a part of you. He wants all of you. He wants you to come to Him with all that you have, and when you do, God's going to bring you through the whatever's in your life. You see, in order to get there, you got to realize there's none better than the Lord. It is left up to us to be able to say without a shadow of a doubt, there's none better than the Lord. I don't care what everybody else said, what everybody else did. I know for a fact that there's none better. You see, I know I go through trials and tribulations. I know I go through some troubles. I know it gets rough. I ain't no different than nobody else. But I know that there's none better than the Lord. I ain't going to look to nothing else to get me through. I'm going to look to the one who created me, who blessed me, who brought me this far. And if it brought me this far, I know He can take me all the way. Do I got anybody else who wants to go all the way with Jesus? Because you understand, there's none better than the Lord. You see, we have to come to this understanding. You know, we've heard about all these hurricanes coming in, Reverend Worthy. And with all these hurricanes coming in, even the bad rains we had here in Virginia, they tell you when you come up to some water and you're not sure how deep it is, they tell you you need to what? Turn around so that you don't what? Turn around so that you don't what? So that means that if you go in there, you can put yourself in a situation where you can what? Drown. Because of the fact that you see the flood ahead of you. You see the water in the road. So since you see the water in the road, you got to turn around so that you don't drown. Yeah, that sounds good. But what happens when the flood is coming and it comes where I am? I'm not going to it, but it comes to where I am. And when that flood come to where I am, don't you know 2 feet of water can move a car over 2,000 pounds? Do y'all know that? Rushing water that is 2 feet high can move a car. So if it can move a car, what's it going to do with you? Mac, what can you do against that water? What can I do against that water? We ain't little dudes. We ain't overly big dudes either, but we ain't little. Reverend Rose, what can we do against that water? Reverend Worthy, you still a younger man. What can you do against all that water? Absolutely nothing. You see, Deacon Jones, I've come to realize that when a rushing flood comes, if I'm in the middle of it, I'm going to get somewhere to higher ground. But the one thing that I want us to understand and realize as we're looking at this and as we're understanding this, what we see happening right here before us is this. What Nahum is saying, he says that he protects those who take refuge in what? Yeah. Check out what he says. Even in a rushing flood. What is that saying to us? The Lord is good. He's a stronghold in a day of trouble. He protects those who take refuge in Him. But a rushing flood. I didn't go looking for the flood. But the flood found me. And now that it's found me, some folk got washed away. Now, he's not always talking about a physical flood, but he's also speaking about it metaphorically, meaning that in all of our lives, we're going to deal with some troubles. And sometimes the troubles begin to surmount on us. Sometimes it's one thing after another, and it seems like they start to mount on us. What happens is that they are able to push us away from the presence of God. What do you mean? Can nothing physically take us from the presence of God? You're right. No, it can't. But mentally, it can cause us to be taken by the rushing problems, situations, and circumstances. Enough is enough. But every time I say that, something else comes and pushes me to the left and gets my attention away from knowing that the Lord is good, knowing that he's a stronghold in a time of trouble. He protects those who take refuge in him, even in a rushing flood. So when life problems seem to surmount, it's like it gets so high, you can't make it. And guess what? On your own, you can't. That's why some folk turn to the bottle. Some folk turn to the drugs. Well, I'll just smoke a little Juul right now because that ain't really going to hurt me too bad. But now they got people getting lung infections from smoking, vaping. Isn't that what it's called? Vaping. And they don't know what is causing these respiratory issues. Well, I'm not smoking cigarettes. I've just got a little Juul. But all these things we're trying to find comfort in. We're trying to get these things to anchor us. We're trying to get these things to keep us planted because we don't want life's problems to be causing us to be pushed away. But I'm here to tell you the only thing that's going to anchor you when all the things start to surmount and add up on your life is that you got to know that the Lord is and that he is a stronghold in a time of trouble, and he will protect those that take refuge in him. You see, my brothers and my sisters, I know stuff going to come your way, but you got to know that I got anchored. I am anchored with the Lord, because since I'm anchored in the Lord, I know that the Lord will make a way somehow. I know that the Lord is going to see me through whatever I'm going through. Do I have anybody in God's house who understands the only reason why you're still here? Because when the rushing flood came your way, the only reason why I didn't take you away, it wasn't how strong you were, because you had the stronghold called God who is holding you. I thank God because he is holding me, because the Lord is. Are you seeing what's happening here? There's none better than the Lord. What the writer Nahum was pointing to, getting us to realize and understand, you got to know where your help comes from. You see, my brothers and sisters, we've all made the mistake and thinking our help coming from a phone call and calling somebody. That might last for a second, but I'm talking about everlasting help. Can nobody help us like the Lord? Because the Lord is, and I'm thanking him that he is my stronghold in my time of trouble, because I made it my business to know that he will protect those that take refuge in him. And I don't know about you, but I know that there's none better than the Lord. And since there's none better than the Lord, I'm not looking for anybody else to help me get through except the Lord. Because I know that when the Lord gets me through, I know I'm going to come through all right. I might have a scratch here or a slight bump there, but I know that the Lord is the one that brought me through the whatever's in my life. Do I got anybody in God's house who knows that I ain't going to be anchored on nothing except the Lord? Because the Lord is. And that's your anchor, my brother. That's your anchor, my sister. You got to continue to remind yourself that the Lord is. I know what I'm going through right now. It don't feel good right now. It hurts me right now. It frustrates me right now. It angers me right now. But that's all right, because I know that the Lord is. You got to hold on to your anchor. You got to hold on to your anchor. You got to hold on to your anchor, because the Lord is. And if you don't hold on to that anchor, It ain't God's fault. It's yours. It's mine. Because what the Lord is saying, I've given you what you need when a rushing flood comes your way. I've given you the ability because you realize I protect those that take refuge in me. You believe that I can. You know that I'm good. So that no matter what come your way, I know that God's going to take me. Mother Austin, the Lord ain't keep you here for 97 years without you knowing that the Lord is good. I know you got some stuff you're dealing with. I know that you ain't where you want to be, but guess what? You're sitting up in church right now. You're here to praise him because you know that the Lord is. You see, my brothers and my sisters, I want us all to understand that if you are not anchored in the Lord, the way to get anchored in the Lord is you got to be able to tell yourself that the Lord is. I might not be going through something good right now, but I serve a mighty good God. I know that God has done more good for me than all the negative stuff that's happened to me. So no matter what goes on, when I come through the doors, I'm going to make it my business to give God the glory, the honor, and the praise. I'm going to worship him with the totality of who I am because my God has been mighty to me because the Lord is. You see, my brothers and my sisters, all the Lord is looking for are some folk who will not focus on the stuff, but who will focus on God. Do I got anybody in God's house who really wants to focus on God? Because when you focus on God, no matter how bad things are around you, you can go on and praise him. You can go on and thank him. You can go on and say hallelujah anyhow, because I've come to the realization, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what I'm dealing with, the Lord is.